Morning. Welcome to Good Shepherd on this morning as we gather to hear God's Word of forgiveness, and that's especially a focus of our text for today, the forgiveness that Christ extends to us, and then that forgiveness that we then take out into the world and we extend to those around us. Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful, Jesus says. You can tell we're down one. Usually a pastor says we're vicarless. I'll say we're poppyless today. Pastor is up in West Point celebrating the 96th birthday of his mother. So that celebration is today. And the birthday itself is the 11th. Have a couple of announcements. We have a couple of our members who the Lord saw fit to take to their heavenly home this week. Marion Schmieding, who has been a long time member of Good Shepherd, but has been a shut-in in Colorado for I don't know how many years, a number of years. She passed away last week, and the funeral is at 10 a.m. here at Good Shepherd on Tuesday, 10 a.m. on Tuesday. And then on Friday, the Lord saw fit to summon from this veil of tears Lowell Rankin. Lowell, longtime member here as well, and he was taken to his eternal home on Friday. Funeral is 11 a.m. on Wednesday here at Good Shepherd. So 10 a.m. on Tuesday for Marion Schmieding and 11 a.m. Wednesday for Lowell Rankin. And we pray the Lord's comfort for both of those families. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for gathering us here today. And we beg you, O Lord, that you would be with us as we hear your word, as we hear your forgiveness proclaimed here in this place, and then take that forgiveness out into the world. We ask especially that you would be with the families of those whom you have summoned to yourself, family of Marion, the family of Lowell. Lord, grant to those families your comfort, your peace, which flows from your cross, your empty tomb. We beg you, O Lord, that you will be with us this day as we come before you to worship, to pray, to praise. In your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen. Order of worship this morning, Matins, page 219, and our opening hymn, 754. 754.
Thank you. Hymns, page 219. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing for the Lord, the Lord of salvation. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We sing the intro.
Thank you.
96. Please be seated. from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, 'Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. Atone for our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, deliver us. A reading from Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." O Lord, have mercy on us. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord,
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon this morning is the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, dear friends in Christ. There are many phrases and verses of Scripture that you hear on the lips of people who have actually never cracked a Bible. There are many quotations of Jesus that have been ripped completely out of their context and then used to support any or every cause. But there is perhaps no single part of Scripture that you will hear more often in our world today than the words of our text. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Now, usually this is simply shortened in a music video, a magazine interview, at a family reunion, or in your living room. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. When I wear what I want, when I say what I want, when I do what I want. Don't judge me when I choose a lifestyle that I want for me and my family. Don't judge me when I choose to love someone of the same sex or become a different sex. Don't judge me when I neglect or destroy my family through indifference, through gambling, alcoholism, or affairs. Essentially, it all comes down to, don't judge me in anything I do. These words of Jesus have become quite popular indeed. And if someone doesn't know anything else about our Lord, they know that He was against judging. And that makes Him a really good guy. At least He's a lot better than you guys. The accusation flies against the church, especially a congregation like ours that actually believes something. It's said so often that we almost don't hear it. It becomes an axiom that no one really questions anymore. The church, or your church, or you Christians, are judgmental. Now, maybe you haven't heard this personally, though I suspect a lot of you have. We hear this as a congregation. We hear this as the church at large. Someone encounters the church in some way, and almost before anyone has anything to say, the person yells out, "Don't judge me!" Especially today, "Don't judge me" is an essential part of the relativistic spirit of our age. Don't judge me means you can't tell me what I'm doing is right or wrong. Don't judge me means there's no objective standard to which you can hold me or anyone else accountable. Don't judge me ultimately means don't call my actions sin. Don't judge me is a trump card that anyone can play to shut off all conversation, to put an end to any discussion of morality or virtue. Jesus says, judge not. And that is that. And you know all about this because you do it all the time. Don't judge me is not just the cry of a transgender activist. It is your cry whenever you are trying to justify yourself or your sinful actions. Now, you may not be so blatant as to say it in exactly the same way, but you have the same arrogance, the same desire to keep on doing what you are doing, no matter what anyone says. "Don't judge me," you arrogantly say, as you approach God's holy altar while living in open sin. "Don't judge me," you boldly declare when your pastor calls on you to repent. "Don't judge me," you say as you cherish and indulge that secret, hidden sin. It's your trump card. Jesus said, "Judge not." And that is that. You see, quite often, most of the time, when you hear or use the phrase, "Don't judge me," it comes from a spirit of arrogance. It comes just like I just described. Someone is doing what they know is wrong, but they have found in Jesus a phrase that excuses everything. "Judge not." But there's another side to this. And I think we would be making a terrible mistake if we assumed that every time we hear, "Don't judge me," that we take it as a cry of arrogance. Even many of those who do cry out, "Don't judge me," with a certain boldness and a seeming confidence, are in reality souls desperate for grace. "Don't judge me" then means, "Don't reject me because of my sin." Quite often, these words are actually words of humility, of repentance. And so when someone says, "That church is so judgmental," it could mean, that a congregation spoke the truth about God's Word, the truth about God's law and man's sin, and that person simply refused to repent. But on the other hand, it could mean, and I think more often than we'd like to admit it does mean, that a humble sinner, broken by their transgressions, facing the real consequences of their sins, not knowing how to escape, came to a church, came to a Christian, maybe your church, maybe you, desperate for a word of hope, a word of grace. And instead, all they were given was the law's threats and condemnations. By word or by deed, indirectly or directly, they were told, "You are not welcome here with us." And that is tragic. That is heartbreaking. For many a broken sinner, "Don't judge me," is a cry for help. And you know all about this because you do this all the time. Every Sunday, in fact, you gather before God and you cry out to Him, "Don't judge me." We have a name for it. We call it confession and absolution. First, we admit our sinfulness. We declare openly who we are. "I, a poor, miserable sinner." And then we humbly plead for grace. "Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being." "Don't judge me," we plead. Our sins are great. Our sins are many. Our sins fill us every day, every single moment. And we are desperate for a word of grace, a word of mercy, a word of forgiveness. And Jesus has come to give us that word. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Jesus commands us. And the Father's mercy is shown forth in the sending of His Son. Jesus didn't come to judge or condemn. He came to reject. He didn't come to reject those who have been humbled by their sin, driven to repentance by the preaching of the law. Now, yes, Jesus certainly preached the law. We hear it in our text today. He preached it more severely than probably anyone else who had ever come before, as there were many arrogant sinners who needed to be driven to repentance. But when the law did its work, when it drove sinners to their knees, Jesus then spoke words of hope, words of comfort, words of forgiveness. And these were not empty, idle words. Jesus Himself paid the price to make these words reality, to remove judgment and condemnation from a world that deserved it. For the very one who said, "Be merciful," was shown no mercy by our world. The one who said, "Judge not," was judged by Caiaphas and the bloodthirsty mob. The one who said, "Condemn not," was condemned to death by Pilate. He was shown no mercy by men, so that you would be shown mercy by God. He was judged guilty by not just the rulers of this world, but by God Himself, so that you would not be judged. He was condemned to death so that you will live, even though you die. Your sins, which are many, are put away, paid for, eliminated by the shed blood of Jesus. Jesus died in your place. He died your death. He died bearing your sin. He who saw much more clearly than anyone else, let blind men lead him into the pit of hell. And there he suffered your punishment, so that you never will. He preaches the law to humble you when you arrogantly say, "Don't judge me," clinging to your sin. And He preaches the gospel to forgive you when in humility you cry out, "Don't judge me," despairing of your sin. He shows you mercy. And it is this mercy that we then take out into this world as individual Christians and as the church. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. For we are not the blind. Our eyes have been opened by the healing hand of Jesus. Sight has been restored in the washing of holy baptism. We do not follow our teacher into the pit, but we follow Jesus in the way of mercy. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Our teacher did not condemn us. He did not hand us over to the judgment of His Father. Our teacher shows us mercy. And that is the very mercy that we then show to others. Those who desperately, in repentance, cry out, "Don't judge me." Our interactions with our fellow sinners is to be characterized by mercy. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. You see, the one who has been forgiven and then refuses to forgive will find the same standard applied to him. The one who has been spared condemnation and then condemns his fellow sinners will discover that the same standard has been applied to him. The one who has been forgiven and then goes forth to forgive, to show mercy, will revel in the very grace of God. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The measure you received was mercy. Mercy given to you who didn't deserve it. You were spared the judgment of God because Jesus endured it in your place. This is the mercy that Jesus extends into the world. And He does so through His instruments, His Christians, His church. A disciple is like his teacher when the disciple shows mercy. Our teacher didn't condemn us. He didn't judge us, but He forgives us. He didn't ignore sin. He didn't leave us in our arrogance. But in mercy, He preached the law to call us out on our sin and then preached the gospel to forgive it. And so when we, as individuals or as a congregation, encounter sinners who in an arrogant refusal to repent say, "Don't judge me," we do not leave them in their sin. That is the most unmerciful, unloving thing we could do. We preach the law, but not because we want to see them go to hell, but because we have the same joy of the angels over every sinner who repents. We preach the law for the very same reason that Jesus preached the law, so that sinners would repent, so that they would turn and be saved. And then, when we encounter sinners who in desperation, humbly, in repentance cry, "Don't judge me," we in mercy extend Christ's forgiveness to them. And then we do all that we can to welcome them into a congregation of sinners and help them to leave their life of sin behind. As Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." We can only forgive when we have received forgiveness. We can only call to repentance when we have first repented. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, specks need removing, don't they? But only by those who have had their logs removed, their eyes opened by daily contrition and repentance. Repent. Repent of all your sins. Repent of those sins you try to justify. Repent of your refusal to act in mercy toward those who simply need a word of grace. Repent of your refusal, of your judging and condemning. Admit your hypocrisy, that you have desired mercy while giving none. Repent, for your Father is merciful. Repent, for Jesus died for your every sin. You are forgiven. You have been shown mercy. Jesus bled. Jesus died for you. Good measure has been given to you, poured into your lap. It is overflowing. Enough for you. Enough for you. for your neighbor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand and we sing the Te Deum. It is found on page 223. welcome to Good Shepherd in the name of Him who is merciful even as His Father is merciful and sends forth His Christians to show that mercy to a world in desperate need of it. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew if you would please sign in and pass it along. If you are a guest or a visitor, we're very glad to have you with us this day, and we ask that you would provide us some of your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us in worship this day. At this time also, we receive our gifts and offerings. And concludes with the prayers of the church, beginning with the Kyrie, page 227, we stand. That the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance, that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority over us. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you the care of our schools, and especially Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Preschool, that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity, by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, all who have requested our prayers, especially Kay, Barbara, Ryan, Georgine, Weldon, Leola, Celeste, Jocelyn, Ed, Sharon, Cindy, Mildred, Sherry, Mark, Ron, Dell, Sonia, Ted, Anna, Larry, Bonnie, Warren, Ken, Brian, Ralph, Shelley, Doug, Kristen, Desi, Raleigh, Charlotte, Noel and Carol, Natalie, and Pearl. The comforter of all those who are distressed and especially those who mourn, especially the family of Marion and the family of Lowell, whom you took to yourself this week. And be with all who rejoice, especially those who rejoice in the 96th birthday of Adeline Poppy. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May be seated for our closing hymn. 7:32. Thank you. welcome to Good Shepherd this day. We have a couple of announcements. First of all, opening for Sunday school will be in here in about, 15 minutes or so. 15, 16, 17 minutes. In the fellowship hall, today we'll be continuing our study of the formula of concord, and we'll be looking at Article 7, the Lord's Supper. And I understand you have been doing several weeks of kind of preparation for actually digging into the text of the formula, and that's what we'll be doing today, is digging into that text. Announcements for the week. We're getting into that time that you are very familiar with here at Good Shepherd. Vicar is going to and fro and all over the place. We have more vicars than we can deal with in the month of July, usually. So you had Vicar Williams show up a couple weeks ago or 10 days ago or whatever. Vicar Short, well, he's not Vicar Short. You have Vicar Elect Short. A vicar is kind of nobody, and a Vicar Elect, man, that's even, wow. So Vicar Elect Short is coming, and he will be moving in on Saturday. And the information is tucked way at the very, very, very back of your bulletin, okay? So he will be moving into Lincoln Saturday, the 15th. And yeah, 3 p.m., and there's the address for the apartment, which I believe is just right over there, I think. But type it into your GPS or whatever crazy technology you use. Vicar Farewell then coming up, because we bring one in and we send one on his way because we can't afford two at once, and he wants to go back and study. So on the 23rd, we will have, in addition to new member welcome, At the main services, then in the evening we will have our Vicar Farewell, and that starts at, I was trying to remember what time it starts, at 5 p.m. And it's a potluck dinner as usual, and all the festivities and good times erupt from there. Also, church picnic coming up in really not all that long, about a month, and the sign-up sheets are already there on the back table. And so please take a look at that and decide how you can help. I had this down on my calendar. I didn't see it. Wasn't in the news and notes, so I think this is right. Young adults gathering will be at the Kirks on Thursday at 7 p.m. Any other announcements? Anything I missed in that extensive and complete list? Okay. Will the Lord be with you as we continue to revel in the Father's mercy shown through His Son, Jesus Christ. God's blessings.